This is Frank Hilton interviewing A. Clayton Williams on January the 5th, 1997, about scouting in the Comanche Trail Council.
This was me as a Cub Scout in 1937.
1937. Well, that's typical of the uniform of that period. Was that taken in Brownwood?
Yeah.
Where did you live in Brownwood?
At that time, I think that was 8 1/2 Street. I'm not real sure. I believe that's the street I remember. And let's see. Okay, this is my
Cub pack.
Cub pack.
You don't know what pack number it was.
I don't think they had but one pack at that time, maybe
well,
two.
The reason I ask that is that I just did some research on cubbing in that council, and
yeah.
They didn't start cubbing until 1936.
Yeah.
And the first pack was in Breckenridge, and the next pack was in Richland Springs, so this pack was probably just started in Brownwood.
Right. Yeah, I imagine it was pack one.
Well, pack one was in Breckenridge, pack two was in Richland Springs. It might have been three, four, or five. I'd have to check. But
okay,
knowing
but
that
the very first one.
It was in 1937.
Yeah. Okay, you want me to name these guys for you?
Yeah, if you would. Going left to right on the front row.
Okay, that's C.Q. Davis.
Okay.
And this is White. I don't remember what his first name was. And this is John Gorman. This is Foy Dixon. This is Haroldine Call. This is me. And this young man's name was King.
Okay, and then on the front row is
Murray Carter.
Somebody.
Jack. I'll have to think about that one. This is Sonny Sims. And this is Glenn. And this is Bobby Nichols. And this is Marcus Kemp. Just
yeah.
Glenn Kemp and Marcus Kemp.
And who was the lady that was...
That's Mrs. Carter.
Mrs. Carter was Denleader. I can look up that charter, and they'll have those names on it. And I can get their full names from,
right.
from the charter paper. Well, that's
okay.
me. And this was about... When was this taken?
That's going to be taken about 1938.
Well, I'll be there. That's a neat picture. First one I've seen of cubbing in that day.
You want that one?
Yeah, if you'd like, if I could make copies of them and send them back to you.
That's perfectly all right.
All right, let me get the pile started over here.
Okay, let's see. You want to cut that thing off for a minute until we get something else?
Camp Billy Gibbons, what do we got here?
That's the mess hall.
Okay, that's at the... we cleared all this. Is that the front or the back? The front of it, isn't
front,
it?
Front, yeah.
We've cleared all this out in the last 6 years, except for the trees.
Now, this is the old campsite.
Oh,
this
that's the old Camp
no,
Billy Gibbons.
No,
right.
no, this all is right, the original Billy
Gibbons. The original camp, as we call it, the old Camp Billy Gibbons.
Yeah, yeah. That's
that was
mess-
a screened-in dining hall, wasn't
right,
it?
Right, right.
Okay. That's a lot bigger than I've seen in some of the pictures.
This is me as a scout. This is Troop 1, and that's a whole bunch of guys in Troop 1 in that picture.
This would have been around 39,
40? 40 or 41.
40 or 41, just before World War II.
Yeah. And this was the council fire at the Bluffs.
Okay.
And this is the main flagpole. All of this is old.
What's
Billy
interesting is the new Camp Billy Gibbons have a flagpole set up almost identical.
Yeah. Okay, and this is the council ring.
All right. You're showing me how a lot of the stuff at the new Camp Billy Gibbons got to be, because basically what they did is went to the new one and just duplicated what
right.
they had at the old one.
And this is right at the dam. That was right out in front of the... that was a swimming hole.
Right.
And that was right out in front of the mess hall.
Okay.
And there was a dam right down here on the right
And I've got a picture of the people that built that dam, and yeah. the only one guy left living that helped build that dam. Yeah.
Okay, now, all right, this is...
Archery.
Archery, and that guy is from Cisco.
Cisco's the tall archer.
Yeah. And I think that's all I've got on...
On those?
Yeah.
That's some real good pictures there.
Well, you can have every one of them.
Well, thank you. You don't mind me borrowing them and
no,
getting copies?
No. If I had objected to you borrowing them, I wouldn't be here.
You wouldn't be here.
Right.
Weinbringer, what was, how do you remember Weinbringer? I don't have a lot of, I know he
Hoopy?
Taught out at the Higher Pain, yeah. What was his name?
Hoopy. His
Hoopy.
Nickname, that was his nickname.
Yeah.
And he was a PhD.
Out at Higher Pain.
Out at Higher Pain, and he taught chemistry. I took chemistry after the war.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And Hoopy was one hell of a scouter. No, we had a presentation, and it was over at Howard Payne in the auditorium, and they gave out five Eagle badges that night, all to our troops. And they were, and we had Coke Stevenson as
the governor.
Governor was the guest speaker.
Yeah.
And the five that got them was me and Bill Clark, Orville Bradley, and Bobby Greer, and there was one other person, and I cannot remember who that was. I've thought about it since I talked to you several times, and I still haven't come out with it.
Let's see what we got. This is in 38. That's when he got his, Weinbringer got his Silver Beaver.
Yeah.
This is just somebody's old scrapbook, and they had some, I was trying to see, there's some stuff later than 38 in here. I was trying to see if there's anything that you would
recognize.
39, that'd be getting in your era.
Yeah, I was in Cubbin in 39.
38, gets 25-year lease on Gibbons campsite.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, what happened with the old camp was... Uncle Billy got sick along about 41 or 42, and his daughter married some clown in Dallas, and he came down there, and he just could not stand it for that acreage being let to scouting, and he raised more hell about that. So finally, how they got the new camp was he went in and bulldozed the damn campsite.
That's what I heard. Were you around when that happened?
I wasn't actually in the camp or anything at the time it happened. He did it in the off season when we were not at camp. And he took a bulldozer and ran through the middle of it.
Just out of being ornery.
Yeah.
I guess he figured if he took all the trees down, there wouldn't be a...
Right.
They wouldn't be able to camp there.
Right. And, well, the other thing was about it, of course, they were under lease from Uncle Billy, and they went and talked to Uncle Billy, and he said, well, that was, he didn't want it like that. And so he told them that they could have a new campsite. And, but the thing about it was, they went to court because of the money involved in the, you know, they had built permanent buildings at the old campsite. And so they sued the clown at Bodo, and they won. And what they took as a deal was a 100-year lease on the new camp. They took a 100-year lease and with an option of renewal and a few other things. I have not seen the lease, but that's what I was told.
We have it for 100 years. I think we've got about 50, 60 years left
right.
on the lease, something like that. This is the Bugle Call, which is a Camp Billy Gibbons newspaper. This was in July 1940, and apparently they put it out at camp each week or,
mm-hmm.
or each day. Tell me what you remember about the old Camp Billy Gibbons, about going to camp and what y'all did and some
well,
of the
as,
key personalities.
Okay, there. They had Gaither Browning, that was the instructor on Indian Lower and all this kind of stuff. And at that time, he had pretty well headed up the Cooneyes.
Right.
And that was, of course, with Quarles Blessings. And Quarles was the scout executive then. And there was a Mr. Burns, who was one-armed, who was from Cisco, was a school teacher. And Mr. Burns was part of it, and the fellow, I can't call his name, the one that was showing, doing the Indian, the archery.
Right.
He was also involved in it.
And he was from Cisco.
And he was from Cisco. And there was two other leaders, and I knew, one of them was from Stevensville, I believe. And I don't know where the other one was from, but anyway, they put, were the pronounced people of the Cooneyes. And I got in it, and I was learning Indian dancing, and I did the Flaming Hoop, was what I did as a dance.
As a Cooneyes. Tell me about the Cooneyes Society. What do you remember about it?
Well, it was an honor camper deal, and they threw you out in the brush for 3 days with a pocket knife, a safety pin, 10 feet of string, and they gave you about four slices of bread and two eggs and two pieces of bacon. And you were allowed to have a blanket, and you had to survive for 3 days. And
were y'all on silence or anything? Do you remember?
I don't remember that much about the silence bit.
Were y'all
I know,
all in a group or?
No. They took you out and dropped blindfolded and dropped you out in the middle of the night, somewhere around the campsite, within a mile or mile and a half of the campsite. And you had a canteen of water, and you had to stay those 3 days. You had to be able to produce your own food. Everybody fished, you know. That's what you had the safety pin for. And you had to make your own lodge. You had to make a like a wiki up, only you didn't have to do it in a complete circle. You only had to do two sides for the shelter. And you had flint and steel for fire. And you had to survive those 3 days. And they checked on you, you know, two or three times during the day. And
did this happen during summer camp or after summer camp?
I believe it was a week after summer camp, if I remember correctly.
Y'all stayed over?
Yeah.
For the weekend, I guess. Friday,
yeah.
Saturday, and Sunday?
Right.
And did your thing on
right.
that weekend?
Right.
Did you do any work or anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did part of projects around there. For instance, my project, they had some caves over there. And I was told to take, I had a combination knife and scalp and hatchet that were on one scalpel, you know, and it's sold by the Boy Scouts. And I took my hatchet over there, and I had to clear brush and stuff like this out in front of the
caves.
So that they have a cleaner entrance.
What did some of the others do? Did they work in the kitchen or?
No, not that.
They
would let you come in. Let's see, we had one meal in the 3 days that they brought us into the campsite, and it was about 9 o'clock at night. And they brought us into the mess hall, and they fed us that evening. And then when we finished up, the night we finished up, they come and got us about 7 or 7:30, something like this, just good twilight. And they came back to the mess hall, and they fed us steak and all this kind of stuff. And we had a singing and a get together and all this sort of stuff. And Gaita initiated us all into the Cooneyes. And
did you have a patch or anything that was given to you?
No, I don't remember any patches of any kind.
Did you have an arrow or anything that you wore around your neck?
Yeah. You had a stick about this
stick
long.
That was sharpened at one end.
Sharpened at one end, and you had to, they had us take and make some feathers and stick in the other end. And you split a feather and run it in under the bark. It was it was willow limb off the creek down there.
Did you wear it or just carried it?
We wore it the first, I'm going to say the first night that we got the thing. And then the next day you could carry it around all this. I used to have that thing in all of my moves. It disappeared.
Yeah, it's like some of the things I've had that eventually got thrown away.
Yeah.
What do you remember of Cunier for several years after that, weren't you?
Only two.
Only 2 years?
Yeah. Because number one, I went into service in
43.
Yeah. In fact, I came back to camp on leave from service. And I came back to camp that year, and how I came back was I put in my 50-mile hike to go to Camp Gibbons that year. From Brownwood.
Brownwood to Camp Billy Gibbons, old Camp Billy Gibbons.
Yeah, the old Camp Billy Gibbons.
So did your troop do this? Or?
No. There was three of us.
Three of you decided you wanted to do that?
Right, that we were going to get our hiking merit badge completed with a 50-mile hike.
Did y'all go over the suspension bridge down there across the Colorado, or did they have one of the regular bridges over there then?
We went by highway. We hiked alongside the highway to
Richland Springs?
No. We went by, there was no road out of Brownwood to Richland Springs in those days.
Oh, there wasn't?
There was a ranch road down there, but it didn't go across the Colorado.
Yeah. Brady?
We went toward Brady until we crossed the Colorado. There was a railroad bridge and a highway bridge there. I want to say highway, that was stretching quite a bit. We crossed that bridge, and about a mile, you turned, and I think the town was called Mercury.
Okay, Mercury, yeah.
And you turned there, and you hiked, then you could hike across to toward Richland Springs. And we did not go through the town of Richland Springs because it was shorter to cut across.
It was a mile out of the way.
Yeah.
You cut across, probably.
Right. And we hiked a lot of fields and pastures and all this sort of stuff. And what we were doing was doing the scout mile. We'd walk a mile and then run a mile, walk a mile and trot a mile.
How long did it take y'all to get down there?
We left at probably between 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you did? At night?
And,
did y'all spend the night on the way?
No, we hiked.
Oh, the whole 50 miles in one day?
Yeah, one day. And we got into camp. It was about 7:30, 8 o'clock that evening.
But it was during summer, so it was still light.
Yeah, it's still light.
Who went with you?
Golly, I can't remember. There was a boy out of Troop 8. I think his name was Bradley or something like that. And there was one other kid, and I don't really remember who the heck that was.
This was in 43?
Yeah, that was in 43.
Were y'all all Eagle Scouts?
Yeah. We were all Eagles.
What made y'all decide to do that? Y'all know each other and Cunier or something?
Oh, yeah. We had known one another pretty well in a lot of competitions.
I noticed they had this first aid contest in the gym at Howard Payne College in
38.
You wouldn't have been involved.
No,
in that.
I would have been a cub.
Your time.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to see if there's 37. Okay. This stuff
now
all
in 1941, they had a scrap metal drive that the scouts participated in, and I still got ribbons from that.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
All the troops collected
collected aluminum.
Tell me about your memories of the old camp. the latrines, the dining hall, the food, the...
Well, we dug our own latrines. I don't remember any...
Y'all just had an area that you camped in, that every campsite?
Yeah, they had areas laid out. They drove a stake in the ground to give you the, you know, your boundary line. And then you took, we used to get lime and mix it in a wash tub and take and whitewash the rocks and lay out a entrance to you. Because they gave a little trophy about that tall then for the best troop campsite. And we won it, I think we won it in 42. I don't think we won it in 41.
What did y'all do at camp? I know you went swimming.
All of us worked mostly on merit badges or rank. They helped different classes in different merit badges and things like this.
What are some of the ones you remember doing?
Indian Lore was one of them. In fact, I seemed like it was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, I'm probably off on that, but Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we had afternoons, we had practice for dancing and stuff like that. And in those days, we used kerosene on balls, and I don't remember what the balls was made
probably
out of.
Probably burlap.
Burlap wrapped on the, I guess it was burlap, wrapped around the
stick,
hoop.
Yeah.
And the hoop was made out of willow because it bend, you know, and you,
and
the hoop was green.
And y'all would light it?
And then you'd soak it, you'd soak each one, you put them about 6-8 inches apart.
Yeah.
And you'd take that wrapping and you'd soak that in kerosene. And kerosene burns very low when it's not fanned or anything, but if you whip that up a few times, those flames out there. Let me put it this way. I could get away with it because I didn't have a costume in those days.
So you didn't scorch it, and you didn't scorch the headdress or something?
No, no. I had barely had a little, I called it a morning star that I wore on my head, and I had a breech cloth and a bathing suit underneath the breechcloth,
right.
And I had a pair of moccasins, and I'm sure that I bought one of the scout kits and made the moccasins, you know. And that's all I would wear for dancing with that hook, you know, because the hook would, if you wore any more, you might burn your clothes,
right.
You know. But now, in later days, I've used that in my dance team, and what we made it out of was out of copper. But what we did, we took fiberglass where the burlap had been, and we also had the kids to wear a glove on that hand because that copper tube would get hot, you know, transfers heat real well. But I've had several that did it here. In fact, I had one boy that burned his hand pretty bad because he was a ham. We were on a television, you know, and they were televising us, and of course, as long as I had that camera on, he'd keep dancing, you know, and I drum stops. He didn't pay any attention to him and just kept dancing. He finally burned his hand, too.
What else do you remember about camp? How about the food? What did y'all eat?
Oh, Lord, we ate...
a lot of potatoes, I would suspect.
Well, we also had beans, and we had bacon and eggs. They had two... the cooks were from the railroad. They were Pullman cooks, you know, on the
Pullman cars?
Yeah, right. They were cooks off the railroad. They had two black guys that spent, I guess, their vacation there during the summer. And they were pretty good cooks. They'd have a couple of days there that they'd make sandwiches, but most of the time you got something staple, you know, beans and corn and stuff like
that.
Cornbread, and you had regular bread. And now they brought to, they used to bring in a pickup truck of groceries, I think about the middle of the week somewhere, and they'd always bring fresh meat or fresh pork or something like this. And Now, it's pretty good food, but now I'll tell you something that they did do long back then, and not too many people may remember this. They did what, okay, if you screwed up, somebody gave you swats.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, that one-armed paper hanger from Cisco could flat bust you with a board. And they used a canoe paddle, and some of the kids would decide to run for Spat King, what they call Spat King. And I ran for Spat King 1 year, and much to my regret, I'd been there both weeks, and I'd been the first week was fine, and the second week, Burns was doing the swatting, and I'd gotten used to his swat, so I could take him for. Somebody in the mess hall said, was sitting at another table for me, and they said, pass bread, and I just reached out in the middle of the table and grabbed our busted package of bread, and I started dealing it out like it's cards, you know, and that got me 10 or 15 swats, so I was pretty well ahead of most of them.
Y'all were doing things on purpose to get swats.
Right. So anyway, I thought Burns was going to be, you know, he was had been sheriff that week. And he didn't really hit you all that hard. And it so happened my scoutmaster came down to pick us up that day in his company truck. And I didn't know it, but he'd swapped off with Burns on being the sheriff. Lord, I'm telling you, I couldn't sit down all the way home.
He probably saving stuff up for 2 years.
Well, his name was Jack Carswell. He died last year. And Jack was one of the best. He was iron-butted and all this kind of stuff, but he was a real scouter, and he was a hell of an outdoorsman. And
what did he do in Brownwood when he was scoutmaster? What was his job? Do you remember?
Golly, I don't know. I think he was in construction. He went, after the war, I know he went to Daniel Baker for a while, and
he must have been a young person.
Yeah, he was. He was, his name was Jack Carswell, and he married a girl named Sue Stalker. And they had one baby at that time, and they lived in a little bitty apartment over about, it was right back of Daniel Baker. Right over by Daniel Baker. And anyway, Jack, he used to have more activities and more things, and we did more than any troop.
What are some of the things that you remember the troop doing?
Jack had some acreage out somewhere. It was out around Early out there. And we used to go out there, and for instance, we used to catch up calves. It was about 14, 15 months old, and we would all try riding them. And it was with his permission,
right.
You know. And Lord, I got thrown on some rocks out there. His place was solid rocks. And he pushed you to do all kinds of things. For instance, I took my patrol at that time. I took them on a hike. We went on a first class hike, which was I think 12 miles, and it was 12 miles out.
A 14 mile hike.
Yeah, 14.
7 miles out.
Seven miles back.
Yeah.
And we went out past his place to there was a siding out there on the railroad called Delaware. And it was several miles past Early out there. And there was a lot of Indian relics out there. In fact, I've got breadstones and arrowheads and all this kind of stuff that I found out there. And we hiked out there and back and collected 100 arrowheads. And we did a lot of things that were required for merit badge work too that we could take out there, like insect collecting and stuff like that. I have 77 merit badges. So.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
God, that's quite a few. When did you get your Eagle? In
43.
43?
Yeah.
And then you went in the service.
I was in the service at the time I got
You'd already gone in the service
yeah.
and came back on leave
yeah.
to get your Eagle?
I was stationed at Aurora Naval Marine Base, and which was an air base up at Eagle Lake, Texas, close to Fort Worth. So it was pretty easy for me to get home, you know, and I stayed active. I'd come back for various things that they'd have, you know. And then I, when I got out of the service in 45, I started back to college, and there was 2 years there that I just floated more or less. Coral let me just belong to it.
And then you went to college, and then?
Then after university, after that I went back to sea duty for 18 months, and then I entered the University of Houston for my, I got a chemistry degree from Howard Payne, and that was under Hoopie. And then I came to University of Houston and got my engineering degree here. And while I was here, I was dating a girl that had been married, and she had a son about 9 years old or 10 years old. I don't remember just exactly, but anyway, she asked me to take him to a Cub meeting one night, and I went over there, and they didn't have a Cub Master, and I ended up being their Cub Master. That's how I got back into scouting strong.
So you stayed in it the rest of your life?
I stayed in it until 1965 when I told Minor Huffman off. And then I quit, and I started up about 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Now, going back to Camp Billy Gibbons, there was two of us that was on the bull gang that was cleaning, that cleaned out the cave. What we used to do, you'd take...
Tell me about the bull gang. What was the...
Well, the bull gang went down a week ahead of time, maybe 10 days. And there was kids from all over the council. I mean, there was probably 24 of us or something like that. I don't know, 12, 14 kids, you know, and they were mostly older than me, but I always ran around kids that was older than me. And they did different things, like they would clean out the swimming hole to make sure there wasn't glass or crap on the bottom, you know,
right.
and stuff like this. And they had to, what we did, we take, in those days, they used to have a kerosene burner. I don't know whether you know what I'm talking about or not, but you carried a compressed air bottle or a pump air bottle that had a pump on it, and you took kerosene and you had a line from your kerosene tank to your burner, and you had an air line to the thing, and you'd take and you'd crawl, you had about like a welding cutting torch hookup, and your lines were probably at the maximum 30, 40 feet long. And what you do, you take that, and what they used to do with these things, they'd burn them thorns off of prickly pear so they could feed the
cattle
with them, you know, and that's where these came from. And they had two of them there. I don't know where they came from, but anyway, they had them down there at camp, and they left them there every year, and so we'd come down and clean them up, fire them up. Then you would take those, and you'd get in those caves, you'd crawl back in there, and you take the torch and run it in ahead of you, and what you did, you run all the snakes and
critters
and varmints and spiders and stuff like this. And normally, if the other side of the coin is, if you can get back in there, you can turn the flame off on one of those and squirt kerosene on snakes. You want to see a snake do a dance. They will, you can clean them out with that. They won't bite you when you do that to them, when you squirt them with those. And what we used to do, just take that torch, it had about a 3 or 4 foot lead on it, you know, a steel pipe. And what we'd do, we'd take that and spray it back there and that back in, and that kerosene smell would run them out of there. If you get it on them, they'll die from it.
So basically what y'all did, go ahead and camp, clean everything out of the cave.
Right.
Could go to the
we
camp.
Cleaned everything, the area out, and we checked and saw that all of the latrines that had been used in the winter, so they used to go down there and have a winter camp too. And we make sure that they had buried over their latrines, and they were, some of us dug new ones. I got crap detail a few times. I had to dig the latrines, you know. But
clean up the dining hall.
Clean up the dining hall. All that sort of. Oh, we had to break the stoves down and clean those and get them ready for the when they were going to have it cooked.
They used propane stoves or kerosene stoves, or remember old army stoves.
They were great big old stoves, but I think they were burning wood.
Wood stoves.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they were. Now, what they would do, they light them off. They'd use kerosene and stuff like that to light them off with.
Now, were the stoves inside the building or outside the building, and they served the food in the screened-in part? Do you remember?
As I remember, the actual stoves were separated from the mess hall by a wall.
Yeah.
But I think I know they were undercover. I mean, you know, under a...
Right,
it's like a
porch.
Yeah, it's a porch back there. And it was... Okay, it was on the...
One end of the building?
One end. I was going to say a direction, but I'm not going to venture that at this time. They were on one end of the building, and they had an area back there where they peeled potatoes and this sort of stuff, and the stoves were in that same area. They used that as a storage area for the food and all. And I remember several times that when I was there, of course, I wasn't supposed to go on, but I remember raiding the mess hall at night to get something to eat.
A drink or something?
Yeah, we'd go over and snitch what we could, take it back to the tent, you know, and sit around and eat.
They still do that, by the way.
Right.
Did y'all have canoeing or anything like that?
Yeah, we did. They had four canoes, I believe. A total of four canoes.
How about rowboats? Did they have any flat-bottom boats or anything, or just canoes?
They had one rowboat, as I remember. I think, and I don't remember that being there all of the years I was there, but I think in 43, I think they had one rowboat.
Probably got one.
Yeah. The castle was awfully poor in those days.
Did they have a rifle range or anything?
Yeah. And I don't believe that was there all of the years. I think that was only in 43 that they had the rifle range, I believe.
It was something new and different?
Yeah, it was. And it wasn't really all that much of a made range,
yeah.
You know. It was all temporary. Now, I'm sure that in the years after that they did do that, that they probably built a little better range. And I know when we went to camp at the new camp, they had one,
yeah.
You know, had a range there, a nice range there. And I always carried, when we went to camp as a bunch from here, we always carried 4-5 22s, and I always had several hundred rounds of ammunition, and I just leave them at the range with whoever was in charge of the range, and they could use them for the other kids if they wanted to.
Did you help move the stuff from one camp to another?
No, I was not involved.
You were not involved in that?
No, at all. See, in those days, we did not have a meeting place for the Cuniers or anything. And, of course, the Order of the Air had not started at that time, or wasn't started down there.
Yeah, they started in 46.
Yeah. And we had a... At one time down there, we had a couple of teepees in the old camp. And they more or less belonged to the Cuniers. They were set up for their use because we used to keep our costumes. And
Pouncey's son, was he active in...
I remember the name.
He was scout executive at one time. Who was your scout executive at the time?
Quirrell.
Guy Quirrell.
Yeah.
Okay, when Pouncey had left.
Pouncey might have been there. I think he was the first year I was at camp. I think he was there. Because I remember the name real well. But I don't. I remember he was an adult, and I don't remember him as being scout executive. You know, because I would have had no reason to come in contact with him as a scout executive.
You have all these pictures here. This is your troop here, or
no? These are Gibbons bunches.
Oh, good.
Okay. This is my troop that went. This is at Gibbons. These four.
Right, now, this is when your troop went from Houston to Camp
right.
Gibbons.
And that's in 19 and probably 58, 59, somewhere along in there.
Okay, and this was your troop camp there.
Right. That's me right there.
Where?
The second one from
there. Second one from there.
Yeah.
And this is from Houston or from here? From Houston.
Yeah.
Boy, the campsites weren't very big then. They're pretty well.
Well, now, we had a whole bunch of area besides this
besides that.
Yeah. And we had kids sleeping in, you can't see them, but they were in...
Hammocks?
Yeah, jungle hammocks.
Jungle hammocks. I won't ask where y'all got the speed limit sign.
Now that's me and my bunch at one of my bunches at Notre Dame in Europe.
In Europe, y'all went over there?
I went over there.
You went over there.
Yeah.
Here's a Camp Billy Gibbons 1960 scout. Was this when your troop went to camp?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
We went up there 3 years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And now that is the Order of the Era ordeal ceremony in Füssen, Germany.
In Füssen, Germany.
Füssen.
Oh, Houston.
Füssen.
How you spell it?
F-U-S-E-N.
Oh, and there's the patch. Oh, the Black Eagle count. I mean,
Black Eagle Lodge.
The Black Eagle Lodge.
And that's an F-1 patch.
I was going to say, this is quite valuable. You better hang on to it or they will...
That's $5,000.
I was going to say, I sold mine for about $1,800. Okay, and this is
me making awards to some of our scouters in Europe.
Okay, so you were in scouting in Europe.
Yeah.
Or you worked with, you had a troop on base?
No, I was stationed at Vogelway, which is the largest settlement of Americans outside the continental limits of the United States. They had about 85,000 people there.
Oh.
And out of that, they had a wild bunch of kids that didn't have any scouters when I got there, and somebody read, okay, I was in the G3
right.
in the Western Air Command headquarters, and somebody read my security clearance, and they saw on there that I put on there that I was a scouter and all this sort of stuff. And so they come around and they said, we've got a problem, we don't have any scout leaders, we need some. And I said, I'm not going to be no scout leader. So I went down to, they had underneath the high school there, which was 400 or 500 feet long by about 150 foot wide. They had a basement under that place. And that's where they were meeting these kids. And they had some guy that they had kind of nailed his fanny to the wall and told him he was a leader. And the night I went down there, I had four bird colonels with me. And they were trying to talk me into it. And I went down there, and when you open the door, it sounded like Second World War going off, you know. I mean, it was wild. And some kid had hit another one with a baseball bat, and they'd taken it. The only person they had acting as a leader was gone to the first aid station with this kid, got his head split in. And that's me when I made my ordeal in Germany.
In Germany. You got in the Order of the Era while you were in Germany.
Right.
Did you find a similarity between the ceremonies?
Yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah. No, it was different. They only had one day of, silence and all this sort of thing. That is my group at the palace in Versailles.
Sharp looking group. That was more of a...
Yeah, and that's also in there. Now this is at my apartment. They were having a party there. And that's in the States.
Okay.
And that's me and my M20 that I ran over the general with.
I bet he was pleased.
No, he got him, crawled in my M20 and got in the ring of the gun ring and rode for the rest of his review.
Oh.
And that was my senior patrol leader and me talking in Germany. That was just before I came home. And this is one group of them we took on a trip in Germany. And the general was so impressed with our group and what we were doing that he let us take TDY and buses, and we traveled all over Europe at the government's expense. That's me in Bastogne. And
you were still pretty young there.
Yeah.
What, about 21 or something?
No, like about 28 then.
About 28, you don't look 28 in that picture.
And this was one of my scout committeemen, and he was head of the CIC in Germany. Yeah.
Okay, and this is another one of the OA, and this is another one of the OA.
Yeah, right. And that's the group that did the ceremony.
Y'all did it indoors?
Yeah.
Where was this in the, at the base?
Houston. No, that's Houston, Germany.
Okay.
And that's me in Holland, seeing that they get to bed. We stayed on a military basis when we traveled.
Okay, we got a duplicate. That's another duplicate of camp. Yeah. Another duplicate of camp.
Okay, now this is pictures of my group when they were Indian dancing here with my team.
Now this is in Houston?
Yeah.
Okay. Looks like a shopping center.
Yeah.
Remember what shopping center was? Gulf Gate?
Gulf Gate.
Gulf Gate was brand new then, wasn't
it? Right.
My wife's from Houston. The reason I figured that had to be about the only shopping center in town at the time. Y'all look like y'all had dance competition. Was that
right?
A council event, or was that a
you could have called it that. It wasn't actually sponsored by the, you know, the. Let me put it this way: Minor Huffman didn't have anything to do with anything. If you come up with an idea, he wanted to move you out to the boondocks, you know. And that's still part of my bunch there. So you said the area wasn't very big. You can see now how big it really was.
Was that a campsite name?
Yeah, no. Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Waco?
Yeah.
Okay, they've renamed the campsites because there's not one down there named Waco anymore.
And that's that. That was my senior patrol leader in Germany hooking up his.
That's a Ken Billy Gibbons. Must have been another year.
That is, okay, this right here is Gilbreth on the end over
All
here.
Right.
So that tells you something. That's back in 58, 59, long enough.
All right. Let me set that one aside. This is, what group is this?
Well, now you have two of these in this bunch of pictures.
Oh, okay.
That's a group that's getting ready to leave on a trip somewhere in Germany.
Alright.
And this is, they had pulled us over. These were the buses we were in. See, that's me, and this is some of my assistants and things.
That's a Camp Billy Gibbons picture.
Yeah, and that is the. This is the old group.
Recognize your troop in that group?
No. This was when I was a boy.
Oh.
See here, I was telling you about the Pullman Cook.
Yeah.
Look over here.
All right. So this would have been taken prior to 43.
Right. This would have been back in the early 40s. Well, no, it didn't, because there's two of my boys.
From Houston?
From Houston.
Okay.
That's Billy Thacker, and that's Dwayne Coffey.
Of course, they could still have black cooks then.
Yeah. Okay, here's Gilbert over here on this end.
Right, on the left-hand side.
Right.
And this is over in Germany.
Yeah. Okay, these guys were ones that Okay, when I got there, they had no program in this group. I mean, they just had a chaos. And these were guys that I recruited and trained into taking over, and I started three units besides mine.
Oh, you did?
I divided them up into four. And that's Calvert, who was the counselor, and he was in Heidelberg, Germany. And this is one of the colonels that was at the headquarters there, and we're cutting a scouting cake. We had a big blast over on scouting birthday.
Well, let's see, it probably says on here, 1956.
Yeah.
Okay. This is him, scout executive, talking.
Yeah. And this is a colonel here.
And that was held in the Serviceman's Club, it looks like.
Right, called a Casbah.
And who is this guy?
That's another colonel.
Getting some sort of an award.
Yeah.
Well, it explains it back here. This is Camp Billy Gibbons in 42.
Yeah.
That would have been the old Billy Gibbons. They had quite a few kids go to camp then, didn't they?
Yeah. I'm right there.
Right there. Yeah, you wrote your name. Didn't you?
No, my mother wrote that.
Oh, your mother wrote that. Mothers
yeah.
do that, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let me...
This is a group picture taken outdoors, wasn't it?
Yeah. This is Burns right here. This right there, this man
okay.
right there.
The one in white.
Yeah.
Fourth from the left.
And that's Quarles right there.
Right, third from the left.
And I don't know who those two are.
How about over here on the right? I see a cook. Looks like a cook, probably.
Yeah. This was a waterfront director that year. I don't know what his name was.
That's a good picture. What
is this going to help you so?
Oh boy, is it ever. Yes. I have gaps in the history.
Yeah.
And this fills a gap.
All right. Okay, these were all pictures taken of some of our quarter honors in Germany.
Do you remember Frank Pelizzari from Breckenridge, perchance, that was active? Frank Pelizzari Jr., he went to 37th Jamboree, which means he would have been an older member.
He probably would have been on the bull gang. He
yeah,
should have been.
And he probably would have been Cunier Society, too.
Right. Well, all of the bull gang always was involved in Cunier if they weren't members. You know, I didn't... Let me put it this way. You didn't ask who was members. You know, the guys were all in a bunch. And everybody that was... Let me put it this way. I was the youngest one on the bull gang. Age-wise, and I was probably, I'm going to say I was either star or live scout along back then.
Been to camp at least a couple of years.
Yeah.
Was this, what, 42, 43?
42, and...
Were you only on the bull game 1 year?
Well, I went on the bull gang in the middle of 42, and then I was on it in 43. So I actually was on it twice. And I was in the Cuniers in 42 and also 43. In 43, I came back, had 2 weeks leave and came back.
During the summer?
Yeah.
You were never on staff or anything?
No.
You were too young probably
right.
to be on staff.
Well, see, the scouts knew my real age, the military didn't. I had bumped my age up 2 years to be able to get in.
The military.
Yeah. And, well, let me put it like this. Brownwood had 185,000 soldiers in during the war in Camp Bowie. And if you were 6 foot tall and male...
They drafted you. They took you.
well, they would take you. But the thing about it was, if you still wearing civvies, you got called a bell bomber worker or 4F or something all the time. And I got tired of getting in fights. And so
you went ahead and joined. What do you remember about scouting prior to World War II? What are your impressions of scouting? Did y'all have first aid meet, camporees, and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Or did they go to scout camp every summer?
We had all kinds of things going on. They had I didn't bring those. I'll have to dig those out. I don't know where they are right now, but I have some of the ribbons we participated, like they had a West Texas Oil Convention, and they were scouting skills and that. They had the scrap aluminum drive, which all of the council from everywhere participated in, and we filled up 6 or 8 boxcars full of aluminum, you know. And
how was y'all? Did y'all get around by automobile then, or as kids y'all use bikes?
Well, I had used bikes some, but my first car was a Model T. And it was a Model T station wagon, which it was converted from a town delivery truck into a station wagon. And
when was this? When you were in high school?
Yeah. So that had to be in 41, 42, along in there. And, of course, we probably pushed it more than it drove, you know. But, no, I was also driving I bought in 1942, I bought the last Plymouth car that came into Houston. I'm sorry, into Brownwood. And I paid $1,096 for it. And I had $600 and Dad loaned me the other $400.
Do you remember John Clardy? He wrote a book called The Willis Creek Gang about scouting in Brownwood in the early days. It's probably before your time.
It must have been, because I don't remember the name.
Yeah. He had a guy that was in the troop, was a friend of theirs that got captured by the Japanese during World War II and got his head decapitated. The book's in his memory.
Well, I started to tell you that there's a couple of people that were in that Cub picture that were killed during the Second World War.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Do you remember which ones they were?
Yeah, Harold Jean Call. And I'll tell you where you can find out for sure.
Okay.
There's a cannon sitting in the park out there. And right next to it is a stone.
Mm-hmm.
And it lists the guys that were killed from Brownwood on that stone.
It says Cogden Park?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I forget who the other one was. But there was two out of my cover.
Out of that picture?
Yeah. I don't believe there's anybody absent here.
Yeah.
And this kid I couldn't name a while ago was Jack.
Jack.
Armstrong.
The all-American kid.
Yeah. It's either Andrews or Armstrong, one of the two.
I'll check it out. I'll get their roster. And this was taken in 37?
37 or 38.
Right. Okay. How long have you been cubbing when that picture was taken?
I joined the first year I could join, so...
You'd have been 9?
Yeah.
9, 10, and 11 was
right.
Cubbing.
Right, and let's see, 28... so I've been 38, I joined in 37. This was probably made in 38, maybe 39.
Okay. I'll check the rosters for the pack.
But I was in 2 or 3 years in that thing.
Yeah. Did you get your Lion Award, do you remember, or you just worked on Wolf?
Do you know that we did not receive any patches? I don't know whether they even had them then. Now, we worked on honor points.
arrow points, as they call them, but you didn't get any wolf, bear, or lion badge.
No, you don't see any.
Any on the uniform.
There's no patches on any of the uniforms.
Hmm. No, there sure isn't.
But I've got, for instance, at home, I've got, as a project in Cubby for honor points, I made a notebook which was made out of plywood, 1/8 plywood, and I had stained it, and I took a wood burn, the emblem of this Cubs on it, all this kind of stuff. And it was, I made it for a scrapbook, and it's varnished and all that kind of stuff. And it was one of the projects we had when we were coming. We did all kinds of things. We were real active. I mean, we participated in everything from soup to nuts. And see, in those days, they used to have, Howard Payne used to have their parade in the fall, and the scouts always marched in that parade. In those days.